Now, dear brethren, as it is on our program, we'll have Brother George Wilmot from Fort Worth, Texas. He had substituted for a Polish brother from Winnipeg this morning. However, we'll have him as scheduled on the program. And his topic will be chosen. Just one word, chosen. So he brought his answer, Mr. Bramale, Brata Wilmot, Texas. Even swoju lekty dasz, czy zalokom wybrani. And now I have the privilege to call upon Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Fred. It is a privilege to have Brother Fred as chairman at this time. We were indeed very thankful that Brother and Sister Yashinchuk were able to attend the Fort Worth Convention this past spring. And we would be very happy indeed to see many more of you in Texas. Any time that you can come, you don't have to wait for our convention. We'd be happy to have you any time. And we would at this time like to express our appreciation to you for the privilege of being in the different homes that we have been in. It's been a real privilege and a real joy, and we do thank you very much. Brother Albert prayed to the Heavenly Father that what might be said would redound to the Father's name and the glory, and it would bring praise to him, and we trust that that will be so. That the subject for consideration will bring praise to our Heavenly Father, and that each one of you will be built up in the most holy faith and will be encouraged to continue in this narrow way. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to assemble ourselves together. And most of you were here at this time last year. There are a few new faces, but indeed it is good to meet together again. As was announced, our subject for consideration is chosen. We noticed in our opening song that the Heavenly Father has called us with a heavenly call. And so we trust that this subject of chosen will be a benefit to each one. Now, to begin with, we'll start with an outline. So those of you taking notes will know just what the subject matter will be. The first part of this subject will be chosen before the foundation of the world. The second part of the subject is who is chosen. The third part, gathering the chosen. And the fourth, the object of the chosen class. And now we shall go back to the first phase of this subject, chosen before the foundation of the world. For a scripture text, may we turn to Ephesians, the first chapter and verse 4. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. We'll actually begin reading verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father is from everlasting even to everlasting. And as we read in Psalms 132, verse 13, the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. Now, going back to Ephesians 1:4, we note that we have received spiritual blessings. in heavenly places. First, the condition which we're now representing is in the holy of the tabernacle, the Spirit-begotten condition. And if we're faithful, we'll pass under the second veil into the most holy heaven itself. And so we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, first now in the holy, and if faithful, in the most holy. The Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. The Zion class, the church class, was chosen, Paul tells us, before the foundation of the world. And remember in Revelation that we read that the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb, who was slain in God's plan from before the foundation of the world, was predestinated to be the head of the church, which is his body. And continuing with verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Our Heavenly Father knew the end from the beginning. And even before the foundation of the world, as we've just noted from this text in Ephesians, this church class, this chosen class, was predestinated, was chosen from before the foundation of the world. Before the creation of Adam, God desired a divine family. He desired those who would share his own nature. This class was chosen as a class, not as individuals. God could have predestinated each one of us, but he didn't arrange his plan that way. And we know that he has chosen the very best plan. He saw fit not to predestinate each individual. He has predestinated a class, a number, but not of individuals. We must be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. The number of this class, as we read in Revelation, the 14th chapter in verse 1, is 144,000. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. This chosen class, this Zion class, would have been selected from natural Israel. But we realize that because of their unbelief, Jesus came into his own, and his own as a nation rejected him. But to those who did accept him, he gave the liberty and the privilege to become sons of God. And hence, we who by nature are Gentiles are privileged to be grafted in to the good olive tree. Wild branches from a wild olive tree grafted into the good olive tree. But the number was predestinated, 144,000, not individuals, but the number, and that number must be complete. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation, and the number will be completed. Soon, we believe, the full number will have made their calling and election sure, because we're in the closing days of the harvest of the gospel age. The character for us was also predestinated. We must be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. The Lord then hath chosen this class even before the creation of Adam, before the foundation of the Word. Now, considering the second portion of this subject, the question is asked, who is chosen? May we turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and verse 14. We notice Matthew 20 and verse 16 also contains these words in Matthew 22:14, but since we understand the diglot omits it, we'll read from the 22nd chapter in verse 14. For surely these words that we are about to read are a part of the sacred scriptures. For many are called, but few are chosen. Who is chosen? Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Only a few are spirit begotten. Now, we read these words, called, chosen, and faithful, in Revelation, the 17th chapter, and verse 14. These who are called and chosen and faithful are with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. But as we noted this morning, those on the unjustified plane are not called to the high calling, to the heavenly calling. Sinners must first be called to repent. And these repentant sinners then, on this plane, friends of God, justified to friendship, these are then called, that is, some of them, many of them are called, not all are called, of course, many are called, but of the ones called, only a few are chosen. And why is this? We're invited to sit down and to count the cost. And this is proper that we do so, because the Lord has invited us to sit down first and count the cost. Well, now when we count the cost, will we have enough to make good? Not in our own strength, but only in the strength of the Lord. For when we do make a full consecration, then we're justified to life. At this point, we are justified to friendship. But when we have made the full consecration, then we are justified to life, we are spirit begotten, we are chosen, and then the work of sanctification begins. We'll come back to these scriptures in just a moment. But before doing that, may we turn to James, the second chapter, in verse 5, in answer to the question, who is chosen? The apostle says, hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen? Again, this reminds us that the Lord hath chosen time. It's the Heavenly Father's plan. He hath desired a divine family. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Now, why is it that God, who is so rich, hath chosen the poor of this world? It's because those who have much of this world's goods are, for the most part, satisfied. And so, chiefly, it has been the poor of this world, but they had faith. And without faith, it would be impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Chosen, we're chosen to be heirs of the kingdom, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now the Apostle Paul continues this same thought in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. We'll begin by reading verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Now this word noble means well-born. Now this would correspond to what James has said, that not many rich. It's chiefly the poor of this world. Not many well-born ones are called, because for the most part they are satisfied. They have the wealth, the good education, talents, and so forth, so they're satisfied. They're not willing to bow down and accept Jesus as their Savior. But continuing verse 27, God hath chosen. Now again, this thought that the Lord desired a divine family. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world. And this word base means low-born. You see, in contrast to the well-born, well-born, not many of these, chiefly the low-born ones who are called, and low-born ones and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, you see, Christ of God is made unto us wisdom, justification, sanctification, and finally, deliverance. But does Christ cease to be our wisdom when the step of justification and then sanctification is taken? No, we still need Christ as our wisdom throughout our Christian walk. We need a wise teacher, a wise counselor. So Christ of God is made unto us wisdom, justification, sanctification, and deliverance. Now we've noted that one is not on trial for life or death until he has been called and has responded to this call by making a full, unreserved consecration. It is then, when God accepts this consecration, that he has chosen, spirit-begotten, he has justified to life, and hence cannot go back to attain perfect human life. No, he has given this up. He is now on trial for life or death. And if he is faithful, if he is more than a conqueror, he will be a partaker of the divine nature. But if he is forced to make some decision after having been chosen, spirit begotten, in which that he will be turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, well then he would, if he washes his robe through the blood of the Lamb, he will be before the throne as a member of the great company. But if he fails, if he denied the Lord, if he sinned against the Holy Spirit after having been chosen, then that would mean the second death. This work of sanctification then continues until the end of the narrow way, and then our deliverance takes place. However, down through the gospel age, the church had to sleep in death, waiting for the return of Christ. But since his return, as we'll note in a few minutes, the first resurrection has been in progress. Now, in the first part of our subject, we had an outline of the chart with the three worlds, the three dispensations. In the second phase, we had the focus upon the gospel age. Now we focus attention in the third part of this subject to the harvest of the gospel age. And the harvest of the gospel age, as we saw this morning, began in 1874. This is the time for gathering the chosen. Now may we turn to Matthew 24 and verse 31. This answer came from our Lord in answer to the disciples' questions concerning his second presence and the end of the age. And the harvest is the end of the age. And he shall send his angels, his messengers, with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect, his elect, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There's one word in here that identifies the time in which we are living, and that's the word trumpet. It's referring to the seventh trump, the last trump, which began to sound in 1874 and which continues to sound throughout the millennial age. It sounds for 1,000 years. But the sounding of the trumpet indicates that we are in the time of the Lord's second presence, that we are in the harvest of the gospel age and the dawn of the millennial age. This is the time then for gathering together this chosen class. The separation of the wheat from the tares, come out of Babylon, has been the call down through this harvest time. And soon, as we've already noted, this class will be complete. There are three interesting dates here on the chart. Now, where do we get these dates? Do we just think that they are nice and hence we use them? On what basis do we use these three dates, 1874, 1878, and 1881. Now, perhaps some of you will be unable to see the harvest of the Jewish age, but we note we have a parallel. And this line represents the year 29 A.D. Now, what happened in 29 A.D.? Our Lord made a full consecration to do God's will. This corresponds to the year 1874 when Messiah would return. Again, in the harvest of the Jewish age, we note that Jesus was crucified on the cross in the year 33 A.D., 3.5 years after his consecration. But now, what took place shortly before his crucifixion? He became very popular for a moment, didn't he? He rode into the city, was proclaimed king. He went to the temple, he cast out the money changers. He acted as a king. He used kingly authority. And then shortly thereafter, they crucified him. For what reason then did he act as a king? Was to show that 3.5 years from his second presence, namely 1878, he would take unto himself his great power to reign. And we believe that he is reigning. We think we have the evidences in the earth from the sounding of the seventh trumpet to be assured that he is reigning. Have we heard the trumpet? Yes, we've heard the trumpet. Oh, not a literal trumpet, but the signs of the time, the weak, saying, I am strong, demanding their real and their fancied rights. Throughout the earth, this is going on. And this assurance was given to us to know that we would be in the time of the harvest, the time of the deliverance of this chosen class, in the first resurrection. And this first resurrection began when our Lord did take unto himself his power to reign. You remember at the time of Jesus' resurrection, he said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Way back at his first advent, his resurrection. But he didn't exercise that power until 1878. And then he began to use that power by establishing the spiritual phase of the kingdom. The all power in heaven. He has the power to establish both phases of the kingdom. First the spiritual, and eventually, after this is complete, the earthly phase of the kingdom. Jesus has the power since his resurrection, but he began to exercise this in 1878. Well, now we have another date corresponding to 36 AD, 1881. And what took place in 36 AD? This was the end of the last week of favor. There had been a period of 70 weeks of favor set aside to natural Israel. And the last week of favor corresponds to these 7 years. 29 AD to 36 AD, a period of 7 years. Messiah was cut off in the middle of that week. But this favor to the Israelites indeed continued for 3 1/2 years after the crucifixion of our Lord. And so we believe that in the parallel, 1881 witnessed the end of the general call of this chosen class. But why are we here? Why do we have this heavenly hope? It's only because that someone since 1881 has laid aside his crown, and we've been privileged to take that crown, to be invited to walk in the narrow way. And we have to be faithful, or else someone else will be invited to take our crown. Yes, it's the time of gathering the chosen. We have a work to do on this side of the veil. It's kingdom work. And this kingdom work continues on the other side, the veil, as soon as we experience our resurrection change. Now, coming to the fourth phase of the subject, this time we will focus attention upon two ages. And one of these ages is in the present evil world. The other age is in the world to come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What is the object of the chosen class? We would start with the object during the gospel age, and also including the harvest of the gospel age. You can think of a lot more scriptures. We have selected one, 1 Peter 2:9. This is just an outline, and we hope that you will, in your study of this subject further, see how many scriptures that you can find on the object of the chosen class during the gospel age and the harvest time. But let's read this one, 1 Peter, the second chapter, and verse 9. The apostle says, "But ye are a chosen," again this word chosen, "a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people." Now here's an object of this chosen class, and that's been down through the gospel age, and it still continues in 1964 in the harvest, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Isn't this a privilege of this chosen class? We have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the truth. What are we doing about it? Are we going far and near, telling our neighbors these glad tidings? Are we showing forth his praises? And it doesn't necessarily mean that we will have to witness the truth by word, even though this is very important. We can just be an example sometimes. This is also important, as well as witnessing by the word of truth. But nevertheless, we must show forth his praises. If we don't show our appreciation, well, then perhaps someone else might be invited who would be appreciative. Show forth the praises of the Lord. And now we come to the harvest, and particularly the end of the harvest. This would be at the close of anarchy. Now, what is the object of the chosen class at this time? Let's read Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 21 and 22. Again, an answer to the question, what shall be the sign of thy presence and the end of the age? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, and the assurance of our Lord, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but by the elect. Now the King James says, for the elect's sake, but this word for means by or through also. By the elect, by the chosen. Who is chosen? The Heavenly Father has chosen thine. He has desired a divine family. He has desired 144,001. When this chosen class is complete, and it will be complete a short time before the close of anarchy, the marriage of the bride to the bridegroom would have taken place. And then, if it were not for divine intervention, no flesh would be saved. But by the elect, head and body, those days will be cut short. Well, of course, we realize that the power would be in the hands of the Lord. But remember that the bride will share the things of the bridegroom. And so we, associated with our Lord, if faithful, will have the privilege of saying to the raging nations, peace, be still. And how often when we visit hospitals or when we hear of troubled thoughts throughout the world, that we would like to do something to stop this trouble, to stop this awful condition, and we're helpless, our hands are tied. But if we're faithful, we'll be associated with the Lord in stopping this trouble before all flesh is destroyed. Well, now we'll continue with the time when anarchy is over, when the trouble will be stopped, and we'll note Revelation 22:17. But before noting that, we'll call your attention to 1 Peter 1:2-4. This is the promise to this chosen class, a heavenly reward. We'll read the words of Peter, elect or chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, or to a hope of life, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Yes, it's a heavenly reward. The Lord hath chosen thine. He hath desired it for his habitation. And this word chosen in Psalms 132, verse 13, has the thought of to choose after testing. And so, after the testing time, as we noted in the subject this morning, after we reach perfect love, we must be tested. And so after the testing time, if we're faithful, we will receive this heavenly reward. And now coming back to Revelation 22:17, as an object of this chosen class during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. And it would have to be the mediatorial phase because the bride is not yet complete. And we notice here in Revelation 22:17 that it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. So these words would not apply until the bride is complete, until the marriage has taken place. And then at that time, the Holy Spirit will begin to be poured out upon all flesh. And the Spirit and the bride will say, come, and let them that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, even Eichmann, Hitler, Stalin, yes, Adam and all of his children will have this privilege of partaking of the water of life freely. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea, and none will need to say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for they will all know the Lord, the least unto the greatest. What a wonderful privilege and object of this chosen class. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation.
Thank you, Brother George. Brother George, would you close, please?
Kind, gracious, loving, heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. We thank thee that thou hast called us out of darkness into thy marvelous light of truth. We thank thee that we have been called with a heavenly calling, and we do desire that we might continue to be faithful to thee in thought, word, and deed, and overrule our mistakes wherein we do come short. We ask thy continued blessing now from this convention, and may it bring a blessing to each one of us, and may it redound to thy name's honor and glory. Overrule our mistakes now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.